Hey there, Harbor Hope. Always be good to be together for worship. Thanks for being here this morning. So I got a question for you as we get started. What's your favorite Christmas song? I'm not talking about hymns, okay? So eliminate those for a second. We're talking about the Christmas music that you hear on the radio. I typically like Christmas music. We've always got it playing in our house as we're putting up ornaments and other things. But I don't know, this year it just felt different. It felt really nice to have something, not just that was nostalgic, but something that, I don't know, just felt normal after the year that we've had. Does that make sense to anybody else? I don't know. I've just really enjoyed it. So songs like A Holly Jolly Christmas, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, Feliz Navidad, Jingle Bell Rock, All I Want for Christmas Is You. My wife reminded me this morning to add to the list Dominic the Donkey. So there are lots that I see some of you shaking your heads yes and no. All of those are on regular rotation at the Wilson House this time of year. Now, there's one other song on our Christmas playlist that I thought deserved special mention. It's Blue Christmas by Elvis. I heard from one of our tech folk on our arts team that they're not a fan of the song, but anybody else a fan? Blue Christmas by Elvis? Okay. Most of us know that song. Again, we listen to it a lot here. First of all, because I have a daughter who is an incredibly huge Elvis fan. But it's also a classic, right? You just have to have it on that playlist. But here's the thing about Blue Christmas. It's actually pretty depressing music for Christmas, if you think about it, if you listen to the lyrics. And I think that's true for a lot of people, especially around Christmas time. Those dealing with grief and loss of a loved one, the holidays can actually be really difficult. And if you think about the year that we've had, as we've already mentioned this morning, you might not be feeling the whole joy thing. I think the tendency might be to think that people who struggle for whatever reason at Christmas are the ones who really need to hear about joy in a Christmas message. But today in our Advent series, God with us, we're talking about how joy is something that really is meant for all of us, not just some of us. Now, the most famous mention of joy in the Christmas story is when the angels appear to the shepherds. Remember that? The angel shows up and says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." We've gotten used to the idea of shepherds being there to welcome baby Jesus. But if you would have heard that story in Jesus' day, well, I think the shepherds being there would have been just a little bit weird. Why? Most of us get how dangerous that job could be, protecting the flock from wild animals. But it was also a dirty vocation. My kids always used to watch the show Dirty Jobs when they were growing up. If Dirty Jobs was around back then, the shepherds definitely would have made that show. They spent 24/7 with their sheep, including sleeping out in the fields, lots of sheep paddies all over the place. It was a dirty job for sure. And because of their job, shepherds weren't able to follow the ceremonial washings and the rules that came with it, which meant that they weren't able to attend religious services. Shepherds also didn't have the greatest of reputations. A shepherd couldn't even testify in court. I suppose the upside of that is that they never got called for jury duty. But nobody wanted to be a shepherd, certainly not be around a shepherd. Keep that in mind as we read from Luke 2 this morning, that it's the shepherds that were some of the first to get the announcement about the baby Jesus. And so from Luke chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Now, before we go on, wouldn't you be terrified too? Remember that feeling that you were told when you were told to report to the principal's office when you were a kid? Okay, so I also realized in reading this to my wife this morning that some of you might not have had that experience. Well, I did. Plus, I grew up at a time where it was still legal to discipline your children by paddling them with a board. The principal of my school proudly displayed his board of education above his desk, behind him, on the wall. I'm not kidding you when I say that son of a gun gave me 5 swats over the course of my 6th grade year. I think I set some sort of record, not to mention broke a bunch of blood vessels. I had been there so often that if I ever got told that I had to report to the office, maybe my mom was just picking me up for a dentist appointment, you know, but I started sweating like I was Pavlov's dog. I thought I was going to get another swat every time I heard my name. I wonder if that's how the shepherds might have felt, just a little bit, if they were in some sort of trouble when the angel showed up to talk to them. But the angel actually has some important news for them, and it was good news. Verse 10, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So as we think about joy on this third Sunday of Advent, I think it's important for us to explore the question, how is this news really supposed to cause great joy? Now, keep in mind, as we've talked about in this series, the people of ancient Israel had been hearing about this Messiah for hundreds of years, a long time. In fact, I think this was a prophecy that we talked about on the first week, Isaiah 7:14, that famous scripture, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel, or God with us. That prophecy was almost 800 years before Jesus. They had been hoping and praying and waiting for this child. So yeah, I think it's a safe bet to say that this would have been a cause for quite a bit of joy. And these Bethlehem shepherds aren't your typical shepherds either. Many scholars believe that these shepherds near Bethlehem watched over were the very ones that were sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem. Once a year, a spotless, blemish-free lamb, or lambs, more accurately, were required for sacrifice. And guess where these worshipers would get their sheep? Yeah, you got it, from this little town outside of Jerusalem. Think about their story for a second. The shepherds were probably the ones paid very little to raise sheep and sacrifice in religious rituals that they themselves couldn't even afford to attend. Not to mention, they weren't even allowed to participate in because of their unclean status. So they were good enough to care for sheep to be sacrificed at the temple. They were good enough to tend the sheep that went into the temple, but not good enough to go in themselves. This is who the angels make the announcement to. The irreligious, the unworthy, the untrustworthy, unclean shepherds. So imagine how the shepherds would have felt hearing this good news. Once again, I think it would have been a cause for great joy. But not just for them. God choosing to announce this incredible news to the shepherds is God making it clear that the Messiah was not only for the elite or the powerful or those who had their religious act together. Because it was announced to the poor and lowly shepherds, Jesus' birth is good news of great joy for all people, for everyone. So whenever I think of joy, I can't help but think of the hymn. Now we're talking about hymns here for a second. Joy to the world. The song is not happiness to the world, obviously, because happiness and joy are not the same thing, right? Joy does not equal happiness. And we know that intellectually, but I think somewhere kind of in our heart, we still struggle with this concept. We confuse the two. Happiness means feeling good about what's happening to me. Happiness fluctuates because it's determined by my circumstances. However, joy is a deep inner sense of well-being that's not based on circumstances. Joy can be present despite things not going my way in life. Joy is deeper, it's more substantial, it's longer lasting than happiness too. Happiness is not joy. Joy is not happiness. And we need to understand that as we talk about joy today. The angels show up and tell the shepherds about joy beyond what was happening in their everyday lives because the Savior had been born. Let's pick it up in chapter 2, verse 15. When the angels had left them, I cut out a little bit of the scripture just for time's sake, but what started off with one angel became this heavenly host, this whole choir. If the weight of that moment wasn't enough with just one person or one angel delivering good news, it would have certainly felt tremendously exciting and intimidating when that whole angel choir showed up. So when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So this is probably a little off topic, but I imagine that this happened in this moment, and maybe you do too. I wonder if the shepherds were allowed to hold baby Jesus. If I was Mary, a new parent, right? I would have said to my spouse, "Oh, look, honey, the shepherds are here. Where'd we put the hand sanitizer?" I'm only partly kidding when I say that. The shepherds had to have known how others saw them. They had to have known how they were excluded from opportunities to connect with God and connect with people. Can you imagine the joy in that moment, being able to participate in something that the world had been waiting centuries for? And to hear about it first. How about you? Maybe on this Christmas, you can relate to some of the feelings of the shepherds. Ever think that you drew the short straw in life? Or maybe that you don't quite fit in as well as some others? Or maybe you think about your own story and what would God want with someone like you after the mistakes that you've made? Perhaps you need to hear that same story. Perhaps you need to hear that the good news of great joy is for all people. And that joy is so much bigger than happiness. It's better than happiness. It's part of the very gift that God wants to give us at Advent and beyond. But here's the second thing I want us to know and to understand regarding joy. Something changes in these shepherds because of their encounter with the baby Jesus. They start talking about what they were told out in the fields and what they had seen in the manger. They start talking to anyone and everyone that will listen to them. They knew God's grace and favor was available to them now, but they couldn't just stay recipients of God's grace. And that's the really important second takeaway for us this third Sunday of Advent. They became dispensers of God's grace. I would imagine to even some of the people who had tried to withhold God's grace from them in their lives. So joy means both receiving and dispensing God's grace. This encounter with the grace of God caused these men and their lives to change, and it changes us too. Later in the New Testament, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, the Apostle John actually gives us some insight into joy. In speaking on a different subject, he says, "We write this to make our joy complete." And it's an interesting line because part of what he's saying is, we do this thing for you. We are writing this letter because it fills up our joy. It makes it complete. So joy then doesn't just come because of what you get. It comes when we have an opportunity to give. That's what happened with the shepherds. When given the opportunity to be recipients of God's grace, it was something too good to keep for themselves. And so the shepherds became dispensers of God's grace as well. They had to share it. That's why we do this whole Advent conspiracy thing and Generosity Sunday at Harbor of Hope. If you're not familiar with Advent conspiracy, all throughout this series, we're finding ways to worship fully, to spend less, to give more and to love all. So here's one more quick video to help us understand the meaning of Advent Conspiracy. Watch this.
As kids to this season that brings our loved ones together and is filled with celebration. We sang songs, set up nativities, decorated houses. We learned Christmas is actually a real story with shepherds, wise men, Joseph and Mary. The story of when God the Father gave his son. But now that I have children of my own, it feels like the story of Christmas is simply a story about more. More toys, more things. And even though I'm the parent, I gotta admit that in all the busyness, I buy into it too. I've traded away the best story in the world for what's on sale. But what if God had something better than this for all of us? I wanna show my kids the real story of Christmas this Advent season. And honestly, I don't know what this will mean for our family. I hope it changes the way we spend money, who we bless, the type of gifts we give, and just how we talk and think about Jesus. The story of Christmas isn't told with free two-day shipping or Black Friday deals. The story of Christmas changed the world. So, shouldn't it change us?
So during Advent Conspiracy, we've tried to be way more thoughtful and more intentional about our gift giving. And hopefully we spend less on ourselves and others. We also take some from our surplus from spending less and we share it with those who are less fortunate at Christmas. And that is something that we believe brings us joy. Last week, we told you about our ministry partners for our generosity Sunday, and how they are, first of all, as we've already mentioned in our service, Place of Promise. It's a ministry in Lowell. They work with the addicted, the homeless, the abused, and others that are trying to put their lives back together. It's an important ministry. They've got a residential program that helps all kinds of people experience the life that God has for them, and we're excited about partnering with them. And then there's also our global ministry partner. This year, it's Food for the Hungry. In the Dominican Republic, we're going to sponsor a water project in the community. And I mentioned last week that everything in a community begins to improve when families have access to clean water. Health improves, education improves, sanitation improves, income improves, their whole lives improve. So remember, anything that you give today through Tuesday will be given to these two partners. And I want to certainly invite you all back next week, because I think that that's where we're going to reveal and celebrate how much was given and how much we're going to be able to bless these ministry partners with. I don't know about you, but I always wake up feeling on a Generosity Sunday at churches that I've either led or been a part of. I end up sort of waking up feeling like a superhero to know that we're going to help people in some sort of life-changing way is something that is pretty awesome. So two real quick things before we wrap up and we pray for our offering. Last month, I want to give you a quick update real quick. Last month, we gave an update on finances on Sunday morning in the I Love Our Church series. We had talked about how we had seen a decrease in giving over the last year that has left us with higher expenses than income. In fact, it had happened for like 5 or 6 months in a row where our expenses were higher than our income. And our elders and our finance team were doing all that they could to get us back on track, decreasing expenditures and so on, including renegotiating our lease And I'm really excited to be able to announce that November was the first month in the black since April, which is a huge answer to prayer. So obviously we're thankful to God, but I also want to say thank you to all of you who continue to partner with us in this mission of helping people find their way back to God. It's pretty cool. The second thing, if you want to hear more about what's going on with finances and our ministry, you're welcome at the MD&E leaders meeting tomorrow night, 7 p.m. on Zoom. There will be a link in the email that goes out tomorrow if you want to join us. Again, we're just talking about some of the things that are happening in our ministries with our finances. And so if you feel like you want to know more, we would invite you to that. Okay. But you might be thinking to yourself, so we've had one really good month of giving and we're going to give an entire offering away. And the answer is yes, we are. And the reason, because we're not just meant to be recipients of God's grace. We're not just meant to be recipients of his blessing. We're meant to be dispensers of it. Getting back on track financially is a great thing, but it's not the goal. It's not the destination. We want to be a community that gives freely. Giving and being generous is a part of our very DNA. And so, yeah, it's an act of faith today that we practice that generosity, even though our own needs have been somewhat limiting in the recent past. But we trust that God will meet our needs as we are meeting the needs of others. So I'm really excited. And I want to say, again, thank you in advance for participating in our generosity offering. I think it's going to be huge. Okay, so whether you feel a little more like it's the most wonderful time of the year, I almost started to sing it, or Blue Christmas. The good news of Jesus' birth is that it will cause, our hope is that it will cause great joy from this day forward for you and for me, for everyone. And I pray that this joy will be too good for all of us to keep to ourselves. So let me say a quick prayer for us, and then we'll move to a time of communion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Jesus, who is the reason for joy in our world. And we pray that on this third Sunday of Advent, God, that we would have an opportunity to begin to hear of your grace, to hear of that joy and internalize it in a way like never before. We do pray for our special offering that's coming up. God, we pray for our ministry partners, and we would ask that you would use it in a way that that it would get used in a way that you would receive the glory and the honor for that and not us. But we are so excited about participating. We pray that we will continue to not only be recipients of your grace, but also dispensers as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.